Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Jason Ophir, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons, where we explore the world of paranormal. And tonight we have a very special guest. We have Judy Mezzaline, who operates the UFO Watchtower, so I'm looking forward to talking to her and learning more about the Watchtower and some of the incredible sightings she's had out there. And normally we have Sherry Peng as a co-host, but she wasn't able to make the show tonight, so it's all me. And so other than that, I hope everybody had a great week, and we'll get the show started, and I'll bring Judy on so we can learn a little bit more about the UFO Watchtower. Judy, hello. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to get you on, and I spoke with you with just a minute before the show started and told you I love UFOs, and I love UFO stories, and that's my main area of interest, so I always get a little excited when we talk about UFOs, because I'm one of the people out there that believes that they're out there.
And
I think there's so much fakery out there with technology, and you watch YouTube, and there's all this people using programs and creating fakery, so it's kind of hard to differentiate what's real and what's not. And but I imagine since you have this watchtower that you see some pretty amazing things. So I'll kind of give you the floor, and if you just want to tell us a little bit about the watchtower and yourself and where it's located, and go from there and hear some of these stories, what you've seen out there.
We moved to the San Luis Valley in southwestern Colorado in 1995 to raise cattle. And from the time we had moved here, all I heard were UFO stories from the locals. And I just giggle and say, we need a UFO watchtower, never thinking I would ever do it. Well, we struggled with the cows for 4.5 years. They just don't eat sand real well. And see, we're directly west of the Great Sand Dunes National Monument, so you can understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, I had to sell the herd after 4.5 years because I couldn't feed them anymore. And I was talking to one of the farmers one day, and he said, you should put up that UFO watchtower you've laughed about. You'd have fun. Well, doggone it, I've had fun. But then we've gotten to have experiences, too, which I never, ever expected. You know, when I opened this, I had never seen anything I never expected to. So thus far, we've had 110 sightings from the tower since 2000. I've gotten to see 26 of them. And it's just totally bizarre stuff. It does not make sense. So,
To give the listeners an idea, what does this watchtower look like? Is it I don't know if this is you or not, but this was just the other day I was watching. I don't know if it was Vice or something, where it showed a UFO watchtower. I was wondering if that was you. Were you ever interviewed on camera?
Yes, a number of times. And Vice did come out and do an interview out here.
Okay.
And
so
they
did
a good job, I think. I think they did a really good job.
But yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, and you know, that darn thing has gotten over 1 million hits. It just blew me away. I thought, I couldn't believe that many people would be interested.
So for the people that haven't seen it, what's it look like? If you could paint a picture for the listeners.
Well, they just came out and they videoed the entire place. And then they put in, when I told them some of the stories, then they went ahead and made a little movie about the story, you know, and trying to give folks a visual of what happened. But we're the San Luis Valley is where we're located, and we're at 7,600 feet here. So the tower itself is only 10 foot tall, but it gets you up off the lay of the land. People laugh and say, well, talk about a tower, it should be 40 feet. Well, when you're at 7,600 feet, how much higher do you have to be?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, but it's at night, it's like you can just pick the stars out of the sky, and we don't have much light pollution. So if something's up there, you're going to see it. And this is what has happened. I mean, we have campers come in all the time to sit and watch. And of the 110 sightings, I mean, they're the ones that have witnessed most of them.
And are there any, like, military bases around there? Is it possible that some of the sightings could just be aircraft? Or what kind of sightings are people reporting or have you that you've seen personally?
Well, I've seen these lights that go real fast and stop. Or they'll be going one way and they just reverse and go the other way, just that quick, and then disappear. And I've talked to a number of the Air Force guys and see Colorado Springs is where the closest base is, and that's like 200 miles from here. But I've asked the Air Force guys that have come in, you know, can our planes go real fast and stop? Or can they be going one way and just reverse and go the other way? I mean, just in a matter of a half a second. And they said to not even think about the plane doing it. They said the G-force on our bodies would blow up. So I'd never thought of that one. But they said, we don't know what you're seeing, but it taint us.
Well,
they
have that technology.
They have training down here.
Oh.
The Air Force did. And what they did is they were teaching people from other countries how to fly under the radar. Well, then we had 9/11. So now they quit having those trainings. Periodically, you'll see some F-16s flying, but not very often.
Yeah, generally you don't see aircraft just stopping at mid-flight and changing direction. I mean, maybe the technology exists, but we certainly don't know about it.
Yeah, really. And there was one night that we were watching, one of my campers and I were watching a satellite coming from the west going to the east, and it stopped. And it sat there for quite a few seconds, and then it just went straight up. So we knew that it wasn't a satellite, you know. It's pretty bizarre. Some of this stuff, you just have to see it yourself, you know.
Is there any indication why that area might be a hot spot? Is there, I don't even know, like I'm just curious why there'd be so many sightings there. Is there some sort of geographical anomaly or, I don't know, maybe there's a base somewhere.
Well, there's all kinds of ideas of why in the valley. And see, this has been going on since before the 1600s. So we know that we didn't have aircraft then, but some say that it's the spirituality of the valley, because the Native Americans considered the valley floor sacred. They wouldn't fight on the valley floor. They'd have their peace talks on the valley floor. Others say it's the vastness of the valley because it's so large and not highly populated. And then others say that in Mount Blanca over here, that there is an ET base in that mountain. And, you know, it could be. I mean, there's lots of activity over there by Mount Blanca. So I was reading a magazine from Great Britain, and in there it said that the majority of their sightings was where there were hot water wells. That makes sense to me. I always try to find something that makes sense. But that does make sense to me because we have geothermal water from one end of the valley to the other, and it pretty much follows the fault line that's under the valley. So what somebody from another planet would need with the geothermal water, I don't know, or maybe it has something to do with the fault line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I live up in Oregon, and there's a place not far up in Washington that sounds very similar, where there's literally sightings every night at the same time. I've never made it up there, but like I said, I'm a a big believer in UFOs. Now, you mentioned that it's a lot of cattle area. Has anybody reported any like cattle mutilations out there, if there's a lot of cattle in the valley or anything like that?
Well, they've estimated 10 to 15,000 mutilations in this valley in northern New Mexico since the 60s. And here
Wow.
we go again. I don't think it's extraterrestrials that are doing it. I think it's military. And I had a woman call me who lives south of the town of Blanca over here a couple summers ago. And she said, I just want you to know, I just saw a military aircraft drop a mutilated cow.
No kidding.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I wonder what the military would be doing. That's so strange. I mean, why don't they just buy cattle and ship it somewhere? Why abduct somebody's cattle on a farm?
I don't think they want anybody to know what they're doing. And I think what they're doing is spot checks for radiation. That's what I think. And when you look at the things that are taken from the animals, I mean, there's the thyroid gland, the pituitary gland, the tongue, and part of the brain. Well, what parts of an animal would hold radiation? Those would.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just wish that the government would come out and be up front and tell us just what the devil they are doing.
Yeah, it's
kind
of scary that I don't think that's ever going to happen. I mean, if it hasn't happened now. Yeah, the government does all sorts of strange things and nefarious things that we hear about 50 years later. So maybe something will come out, but I don't think so with UFOs. But,
then they would be liars,
Yeah, well, exactly. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, we've been lying since 1947 or whenever Roswell happened. That wouldn't look good either.
That wouldn't, would it?
No. What about?
I do believe the crash happened at Roswell. I totally believe that. Oh, yeah. I've talked to too many people whose parents or grandparents were there at the time, and they said, don't even question it. It happened. But the government's not going to come out and tell you,
Well, they did. At first, they reported that it was a crashed disk, and then they changed their story, just like the government likes to do.
Yep, you got that one right.
it was a weather balloon. Yeah, I'm sure the military went out there and misidentified a weather balloon with a radar refractor on it. It's so ridiculous. But they do think we're dummies. It's disinformation. To me, it does a real disservice. I kind of understand the mentality of it could freak people out if we found out that we're being visited by aliens. But at the same time, I think the truth is more important. I find the truth valuable, and I think we could learn a lot more from that than just living under an umbrella of lies.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
But
I want to know the truth, and I'm hoping that someday, hopefully before I die, that it will be released, but I'm not planning on it. If it is, we're going to have one big party.
Yeah, we'll have a party out at the watchtower. What about, I'm also really curious about alien abductions. Is that frequently reported in the valley as well?
Well, I get visitors in that talk about it quite frequently. And some say that it's the most loving experience they've ever had. And others say that they were taken and just tested for their intellect. And then I have others who talk about the nasty stuff, how they were probed and that type of thing. So I don't know. I don't think I've ever been abducted. If I did, I don't remember it, and I really wish I would. So what do you do, guys?
Yeah. So now, what are some of the most intense sightings that people or yourself have reported out there? You mentioned the lights that stop mid-flight, which we know, at least what we know of technology today, isn't possible. Has anybody reported anything different than that, more spectacular or anything like that?
Yeah, the closest one that I got to see was between the tower and the mountains, and part way down the mountains, and it was a cigar shaped, and it moved from the north to the south really fast. We had over a dozen people on the tower at the time, and everybody saw it. It was 11 o'clock at night. It was sort of a bronzish color. But it was seen earlier in the day up at one of the hot springs on the north end of the valley. And that was during the day, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I had a fella call me from Antonito, and they had seen it down there the same night that we saw it here. So who knows what the heck it was, you know? But they do frequent. Now, we had one gentleman who came to camp, and he parked over by the tower, and he was out talking to his friend on his cell phone, and a saucer came over the top of him and hovered there for a few seconds and then left and totally blew his mind. And he was hollering and screaming at his friend on the phone, "You won't believe what just happened," you know. So there has been that. We've had people who have come to camp, and they talk about seeing some beings outside of the tent. And they still talk about that. And gosh, that's been 15 years ago maybe. But it all leaves an impression on people. And what I have found is that those who have had a UFO experience or an alien experience, they can remember every single detail about it, no matter how old they were when it happened, you know? So I'm certain that something is going on, totally.
Did they describe what the beings looked like?
Yeah, they described them kind of like grasshoppers, and they were white, but it would have been the insecticides, you know, and nothing bad happened, but they did see the beings.
Did they say how tall they were? That's kind of scary. I mean, something with, I assume, like you're saying, with the head of a grasshopper. That'd be kind of frightening.
Yeah, they said that they were about 4 feet tall and that they had legs on them like a grasshopper, is what they described.
Yeah, if I saw that, I'd be running the other way. I'd be out of there.
But anything that we are unfamiliar with, most folks are going to run the other way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, as far as we know, they could be the most loving beings, and, you know, they just want to eat tea and crumpets. But we just, I know for me, I watch too many movies, so if you see something that looks insectoid, it can't be good.
Well, I try to tell people to keep an open mind and quit watching the horror flicks. I mean, that's why people get scared of them, you know? Now, from what I understand from the psychics who have visited here, I understand that that we are protected by the Pleiadians and the tall whites. And I totally believe that, because the UFO watchtowers really had nothing really bad happen in 16 years. And it's out in the middle of a field where, you know, somebody could go in there and totally demolish it if they wanted to in the nighttime. We have had a few things stolen, but that's kids. I'm certain it's kids. But anyway...
So do you believe there's like an alien war going on where we're being protected by certain species and against other species?
I don't know about I think if there's any protecting to do, it'd have to be being protected against each of us.
And that makes total sense, because the world is complete pandemonium. It's like all the wars and everything going on, there's just so much negativity out there. But I hear all these strange stories about, you know, these secret bases like the Dulce base, and there is like a battle down there between humans and aliens. And it's, I mean, who knows what to believe? Some of it's outlandish, but what we do know is there's stuff flying in our skies that we can't explain. So
that's true. And, you know, I had a gentleman come in. He lives in the town of Blanca. And every year when he has company come, he takes him up the Jeep trail on the south side of the mountain. Well, he was taking a family up there to show them, you know, Mount Blanca. And they got to one point, and he said that it looked like hangar doors on the side of the mountain. Nobody had a camera, so they raced back down to get the camera. And when they got back up there, it was just a rock face again. So I believe that something is in that mountain, whether it's extraterrestrial or it's our military. But I feel that that mountain is hollowed out and there is something in it.
And is that mountain completely accessible to the public? Could somebody go over there and just totally scour it and investigate it?
Well, I suppose you could if you could had the equipment to get up it, you know. But when you're going up a rock face, you would need the equipment to climb the rocks. So, and maybe some people are hesitant about doing it because they don't know what they're going to find. So,
because I've heard similar stories before in the areas surrounding Area 51, where the government has camouflaged the sides of these hills to where you would look at it and you wouldn't be able to tell, but they open up the hangars. So I would almost wonder, I would think that the most likely scenario is there's some sort of government installation in there.
Yeah, and there have been people who have come and told me that they were going up into the mountains and they would get to a certain point and there would be an armed guard there and make them turn around. They wouldn't be able to go any further. So I really feel something's going on in that mountain range, but I don't know what.
What makes me want to check on Google Earth? I'm going to Google Earth it because I'm not familiar with Mount Blanca.
Yeah, well, it's
who knows?
A 14,000-foot mountain, you know.
Okay, so it's a big mountain then.
It's big.
Now, have you, since you've been operating in the 16 years, the UFO Watchtower, have you ever been approached by people that might be government agents? Maybe this is an outlandish question, but asking weird questions. Have you had any weird people come through that, you know,
I wouldn't call them weird, but
like,
one day I was out in the garden. We have this garden, and I tell folks to leave things in it because there's two vortices out there. And I tell folks to leave things in the garden to get their energy there as well as with the vortices. But I found a business card left by somebody from the FBI. I thought, how come you didn't tell me, you know? I mean, apparently you're in here talking to me. Why didn't you just tell me who you were with instead of leaving this business card? That kind of blew me away. And then last year, towards the end of the year, I had a group come, and they were called the Strategic Studies Group from the Navy. And it was very interesting meeting these folks, you know. They were high-ranking officers in the Navy. And so, anyway, what kind of spooked me is when they first pulled up, this one guy gets out of the car and reaches into the back seat of the car and puts on a black trench coat. And I'm going, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into this time? But anyway, and then the entire time that they were there, he had sunglasses on, and very seldom did he take them off. Well, my son, who had retired from the Navy, was there with me. And he said, did you notice the one guy wearing the sunglasses? And I said, yeah. And he says, well, you know, Ma, he says, they've got cameras in those. So he was probably filming the whole thing. Well, that's nice to know, you know. But they did send me a nice thank you letter. And at the bottom it said, your insights and unique personal perspective were interesting and timely as we begin our innovation process. You have had a direct impact on our viewpoints for future concepts. Well, maybe I did some good. I don't know.
But I think visits like that kind of add credibility to the claim that there's activity out there. I mean, somebody could just happen to be an FBI agent and be into UFOs. But, you know, when you get groups like that, to me, it just makes it add credibility to the whole thing that, you know, something's going on out there.
Yeah, and one of the people that was with that group, he was a big wig in the Coast Guard. And he showed me on his cell phone some pictures he had taken out at sea. And they were of UFOs, you know, the lights coming out of the water and that type of thing. So anyway, this has been very interesting and a big eye-opener.
And what would you say if they are extraterrestrials? I mean, it's more of a personal view. What do you think their objective would be? Not necessarily pertaining particular location, but I'm always curious to hear why people think we're being visited.
You know, personally, I think they want to help. They can see that we are destroying our Earth, and I really think they would like to help. Now, somebody told me that there is an intergalactic agreement that they can observe but not interfere. So maybe that's true. I don't know. But, you know, I was reading a book by Sylvia Brown. Are you familiar with her?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, she wrote a book, and it was called The Secrets and Mysteries of the World. And in there she talks about extraterrestrials, and she says that they look just like us and they're already walking amongst us. And that wouldn't be too far-fetched either, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that before, too. I don't know how I feel about that. But why not? I mean, anything is an amazing universe. Anything's possible.
You
but
bet.
To me, that's kind of
and
a
I've had a number of people come in and tell me that they were aliens. And whether they were or not, I believed them, you know. There was one guy, and he was close to 7 feet tall, and he had blonde hair, and he had these brilliant blue eyes. And the blue, what was strange, the blue went from corner to corner. There wasn't any white. And he said that he was extraterrestrial. And so, you know, to see something like that, then it really makes you wonder. I mean, really does.
Well, now I'm curious about that conversation. Did they, like, what were they saying?
They came and wanted to thank me for doing the UFO Watchtower and for trying to familiarize people with the UFO phenomena and the extraterrestrials. And all that they said, all of them were just so full of love. I mean, it's like you're standing 6 foot away from them, like they have their arms around you hugging you. So, and I've had, 15 or 20 in telling me the same thing.
Did they all?
I don't know. I just take it one day at a time. But I do believe these people. I no reason not to.
Well, if they're aliens or not, you know, it sounds like their message and their energy is good. So it's kind of irrelevant whether they are or they aren't, in my mind. You know.
True. Yeah, I agree with you. But if the whole world was like them, we wouldn't be having issues. That's my feeling.
And that's a good message out there to everybody that's afraid of aliens, that, you know, perhaps they're not all bad and evil like they are in the movies, you know.
Yeah, don't watch the horror flicks. I tell everybody, quit watching the horror flicks.
Well, we had a young man stay
with us for a week or so, and he said to me, he said, I'm really afraid of aliens. And I said, why? Oh, they're going to hurt you. So I happened to have the movie E.T., and I put it in and had him sit down and watch it. And he got all done, and he said, well, they're not nasty, are they? But I thought, well, that was a good one for him to watch, was E.T.
Yeah, that's about as mild as it gets. Now, I know for me personally, the reason that I am so intrigued by UFOs is I've had a lot of UFO experiences, and some of those experiences were not pleasant. And so, and I've talked about it before on the show, but that's a whole show itself I'd have to talk about, which I just did not too long ago. But I kind of have a fear of aliens and abduction and all that. And I know a lot of people do. I know a close friend of mine, just the word alien freaks him out, but not because of any personal experience, probably just because of Hollywood likes to blow things out of proportion and make scary monsters.
And that's sad. I'm sorry, that's sad, and I think a lot of the violence in the United States and maybe throughout the world is because of some of these movies that Hollywood has done, you know, and all you see is killing and hatred, and that's not good. Just not good.
Especially now in the state of the world and humanity. Maybe there's more good in the world than I see, but it seems like, especially, you know, if you watch the news, there's so much negativity, evil. People have, at least what I've observed, is don't care for other people before, or, you know, care for other people probably the way they should. There's not a lot of random acts of kindness, or there's not enough, or I don't see it. But I think that as humanity, we need to pull together and help taking care of each other and stop all the nonsense. It wouldn't surprise me if another species from another galaxy was out there trying to help us, because we are out of control.
Totally. Totally. You know, and nobody has any respect for the other person anymore. You know, they don't care what they say to them, how they treat them. I mean, the respect is gone. And we need to work on that, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anybody's listening out there, you know, if you see somebody on the side of the road and it's safe and they don't look like a serial killer, I mean, help people. If somebody's in the front line at a grocery store and is short a couple bucks, I mean, the acts of kindness, it just doesn't affect the person performing the act of kindness or the person receiving. It's also the people that observe it. And this is off topic, but one thing that I did one time was I was at the DMV and an old lady was having trouble using the ATM. Now, I'm the scariest looking person in the DMV. I'm really intimidating and big. And I just happened to be sitting there and she asked me to help her with her ATM, right? So I help her and eventually the piece of paper comes out and she didn't have the money. She didn't have the money to pay her DMV bill. So I just happened to have extra money. So I paid her DMV bill, and everybody around was astonished that I did that, and the clerk was astonished. And as she walked out, she gave me a hug, you know. And it wasn't a lot. It was like $60, but it's stuff like that. I mean, if you can help somebody out, do it, because it's infectious, and it makes people think.
And I agree. And, you know, she appreciated it by giving you the hug.
Yeah, and it felt good. Yeah.
Yeah, it made you feel good, too. So, no, I think there's more good people out there than the bad, but all we ever hear about are the bad ones.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the case, is we only hear, the negative side of things and not the good. Because I know there's a lot of good out there, but... But I see we do have a caller. Would you be willing to take a question from a caller?
Sure.
All right, well, let's take this question. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Do you have a question for Judy?
Hi. You know, I might have a question in a little while, I was just enjoying listening to you. It's easier for me to listen because I'm just on the phone.
Oh, okay.
But I heard what you said about, you know, helping. And I wanted to share twice. I was short money. And, you know, this, I haven't been in this position for many, many, many years. I usually am the one that tries to do what you did, you know, help people. I was just raised that way. That's what my mother did, and, you know, and I raised my kids that way. But I found myself now in a position where I don't have anything, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I was at a grocery store, and I was trying to, you know, figure out what I could get. And the lady behind me just said, oh, I'll pay for it, you know. Don't worry about it. And I was in such shock, but I thanked her, and I really appreciated it. And, yeah, it is nice when I'm not used to being on the other end of it, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to be on the other end of it. So, but I did thank her and, you know, tried to make her feel as good as I could.
Yeah, and it leaves a lasting, you know, impression. And, yeah, I just wish
it
there was
does.
More of that.
Like you said, yeah, people around, you know, also, you know, I didn't shy away from thanking her, you know, and letting everybody know how great she is.
Awesome.
Isn't that nice?
Well, yeah, for anybody listening, I mean, just try. It doesn't have to be money. It can be anything. And I know we're totally off topic, but I think the message is important, you know. So, I want to thank you for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, what is your topic tonight?
We're talking to Judy Meseline, and she operates the UFO Watchtower, which is a place
to
go out and watch UFOs.
Judy, have you ever seen any aliens yourself?
Not the aliens. I've seen the UFOs, though. I've seen
20.
Yeah. So I tell everybody, keep an open mind and look up.
I've seen a couple weird things before. But I personally, my mother had seen some, and that's why I wondered if you had seen any. I don't really want to see them myself, so I don't know, they scare me.
You and me both. Okay, well, I'll put you back on hold. And
thank you.
Thanks for the questions and that great story of somebody helping you out. All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't want to see them either, at least especially if not being alone, because that would be kind of scary. But it kind of intrigues me. You were speaking a minute ago about you had several people that claimed to be aliens, and the one with the blue eyes, that really intrigues me. Of course, it could just be a person, but it's interesting. And then earlier you mentioned that you had vortices where people could recharge their energy. I'm not too familiar with that. Can you kind of talk a minute about what exactly that is and how that helps?
Well, I've had over 25 psychics come by, and they've all said the same thing, that the two vortices are out in front of the tower, and they describe them as a portal to a parallel universe or an opening, and they're full of energy and they spin. The other thing that they told me is that we have two large beings there who protect the entrances to the vortexes, but they're also there to help. So if anybody needs any type of help in their life, they're to go in the garden and ask for it. Well, you know, there has been some phenomenal results from people just asking for help out there. So I don't care if it's aliens, angels, or God himself. If it helps people, it's good.
Absolutely. Now, did these psychics, did they know one another? I guess what I'm getting at is, did they tell you the same thing independently? So, kind of cooperate,
yep.
Cooperate each other.
And,
okay.
And I've had others come in and say, well, how did you find these psychics and get them to come here? I didn't find them. They found me. And just one by one by one, they would come in and they'd all stand in the same spot in my shop and say the exact same thing. So after a while, you know, you start believing it. And I totally believe that it does help people out there.
Because I've heard a lot about portals and vortexes, and honestly, I've been in the paranormal a long time. I know nothing about it at all.
No.
I
can tell you something else that they've told me, and that is that there is supposed to be a crashed ship under the tower and the dome. And I heard that over and over and over. And finally I started asking questions, and I said, well, just how deep is it anyway? And this older gentleman that was in there, he says, oh, it's about 50 feet. Well, I had to think on that for a while, so I didn't go any further. You know, how much do you ask? Well, then another gal came in, a few days later, and she started in on it, and she said, yeah, there is a crashed ship under here. And I said, well, can you see it? And she says, yeah. And I said, well, how deep is it? And she said, about 75 feet, but I see it going up and down. Well, we have this huge aquifer under us, so that made sense to me. And then I said to her, I said, well, just how big is it anyway? And she said, my good God, girl, how much land do you own? And I said, why? And she said, it's a mothership. It's a mile long. And I own 1 square mile, see. So then, it was a few weeks later, I had a couple more come. And they started in on it. And I said, can you see it? And the gal said, oh, yeah. And she said, She said, it's really strange. It's like it has moss growing all over it. And, again, the water underneath, you know. And I said, well, just how big is it anyway? And she said, it's about as big as the berm in front of the, around the garden, and about that big in the back. But she says, strangest thing, you get inside of it, it's a mothership. It's a mile long. So when you hear this stuff, you know, it kind of makes a believer out of you. And that gal, she drew me pictures of what she saw. So anyway, whether it's there or not, we have fun with it, huh?
Well, I was going to say, well, you could just grab a shovel, but that's not going to work.
No, and I've had others say, well, aren't you going to drill? Aren't you going to dig? And I said, you know, what if there is one there and you hit it? Would you want to upset them? I wouldn't. So we just have just left it, and I don't want anybody digging.
I wonder how deep ground penetrating radar goes, but I doubt it goes that deep. That
yeah,
would be
I don't know. And I did tell the Navy people about it, dummy me. But anyway,
I did tell them about it.
And I showed them the pictures, and they're the same. They were the same way. Well, can't you get a radar thing to go down and see? And I said, well, how much would that cost? Because I'm not a wealthy person, you know. So I just haven't pursued it, but I said it makes it fun to think about it. And I like to ask people when they come to visit if they are intuitive. And I did that here a few months ago. A young man was there, and I asked him, I said, are you intuitive? And he says, well, yeah, I think so. And I said, well, you walk out into the garden, and you tell me what you feel. And so he was out there about 15 minutes, and he came in, and he said, there was a plane crash or something here. Well, here we go again, crash ship. So the intuitive people can pick up on all kinds of stuff over there. And then they would all say the same thing, how come you built this here? And I don't know why, it just felt right, you know. So we have fun with it. What the heck?
And that is interesting. What, you know, why did you build it there? Maybe on some sort of subconscious psychic level, you knew something's down there. I don't know.
It could be. You know? It felt right. I mean, you know how you go by your gut feelings on stuff, and it just felt right. That's where it needed to be.
And all these people that made that comment that said that there was a crashed ship there, they're all independent. They didn't know each other. Nope. Anything like that. Yeah.
No, they all came in independently. And even if they don't tell me that they are intuitive, then after they've been there for a while, then they'll come in and just start talking. And it's an interesting affair, I'll tell you.
Wow, that's, yeah, you know, if one person comes in and says something, you're like, but when a bunch of people over a period of time essentially say the same thing, at least for me, it would really, I'd try and figure out a way to find out what's down there. That would be super interesting.
Yeah, well, they said that the inhabitants, it's been there for a long time, and the inhabitants of the ship are dead, but it is still being used, and it's still active. So, whatever that means. Whatever that means. And one psychic told me that it's going to be one of the few that when the time comes, it won't come up out of the ground. It's going to go straight through the earth. And I don't know what that means either. I don't understand it. But I just go with the flow and just let it happen. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, you know?
I was going to say, yeah, what if that thing activates and tries to come out of the ground? That could be problematic.
Well, we have one spot over there that the compass goes wacky on it. And it doesn't make any difference if it's a cell phone compass or a regular compass. But it will say north is where north is supposed to be. And then you walk into this one little area and all of a sudden it says east. And we haven't been able to figure that one out either. And sometimes the needle on the compass will just spin around. And I said, well, maybe that's where the control panel on the ship is. I mean, does that make, that kind of made sense to me of why it would do it there.
Yeah, maybe some sort of power source or, and it's more than one compass. I mean, you could take several compasses and they do the same thing in the same spot.
Oh, yeah, and even the compasses on cell phones will do it as well. And I think they work off satellite, so that wouldn't have anything to do with the magnetism.
Wow, that's interesting. I've never actually seen that before. I've heard of that, but I've never actually experienced anything strange with a compass. So that definitely, to me, proves that there's some sort of magnetic anomaly. I don't know how common that is in just nature, but something's going on.
Well, something is going on. And it's really fun to play with. I like to play with stuff, and this has been fun. And it gets people's minds kind of boggled, too.
Yeah.
You know, it gives them something to think about. And that's important. You got to give folks something to think about.
Absolutely. And let's see, I had another question. What was it? It slipped my mind. I was thinking about magnetism. I remember. I remember what it was. Has anybody gone out there with other equipment, like electromagnetic detectors or anything like that, to try and check for other anomalies?
We had one gal that brought one of those, the thing that you use for uranium. I forget what it's called. But anyway, she went ahead and set it down next to one of the vortices, and the needle just went skyrocketing to the right. And she said, I don't know what's here, but this is interesting, you know. But it wasn't metal detector. What are those called? Anyway.
A Geiger counter?
I've got one. That's it. The Geiger counter.
Well, hopefully it wasn't unsafe levels.
Well, the needle just, I mean, when the minute she set it down, it just immediately went over to the high level and then it went back. But, again, you know, I'm not into the science thing, so I don't know what that meant.
Well, we have a few minutes left. Are there any other really interesting sightings that you could share as we kind of wind down here?
Yeah, there was one night when I had some folks come and they had the high-powered flashlights.
Mm-hmm.
And they were told that they were taking the class with Dr. Greer, but they came to the tower to practice. So they were told that they could communicate with the UFOs with these flashlights. So off to the northwest, there was a bright light. So they flashed at it twice. It flashed back twice. Then it moved. And then they flashed at it twice again, and it flashed back twice. And then it moved again. And same scenario. So, you know, I really firmly believe something was there. And then another night, it looked like a shooting star coming down and got below the peaks of the mountains. So it's like it lost its momentum and it started to float. And see, my weird mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe the downdrafts from the mountains made it do that. But what didn't make sense is it went straight back up. So I don't think it was a shooting star. We try to analyze this stuff in our own mind, saying, well, we're not totally ignorant, you know. There has to be an explanation. But there hasn't been any explanations. The end of last year, I had a gentleman call me, and he said, Judy, are you watching the triangular-shaped one up by the moon? And I said, what triangular-shaped one? And he said, you get out there tonight with your binoculars and you look. He said, we've been watching it for 3 nights. Well, you didn't need binoculars. You just went out and looked, and there was this triangular object right next to the moon. And it stayed there another couple of nights before it disappeared. So that was kind of fun.
Was there any way to gauge how big? Was it like covering part of the surface of the moon?
No, it was just down in the corner of the moon. And maybe from where I was, it looked like it was about 6 inches tall, you know. But it had to have been way up there someplace. And so I have no clue.
That's really interesting. We hear a lot about the triangular craft. I know when I look at the moon, I get kind of a strange vibe. I think there's something going on with the moon that we're not being told. I don't know. There's something going on there. I don't know what it is, but I'm very suspicious of the moon. Maybe I'm just paranoid.
No, it's just, have you thought, why haven't we been back to the moon? Have you thought about that?
I've heard.
You know, how many years ago
that?
Was it when they went to the moon and haven't been back since?
I've heard that there's like structures on the moon, but it's hard to figure out what's real and what's not. But yeah, I'm not really familiar with NASA, so I don't know the last time they were on the moon. But I've heard that they haven't gone back.
And they. I've had folks tell me, well, they were told not to come back. I said, well, maybe. I don't know.
I've heard stuff like they had some sensors on the moon, and then when some of the boosters came off the lander or whatever and hit the moon, like the whole moon reverberated, which basically indicated that the moon was actually hollow. So they were suggesting that the moon is actually a giant UFO. Whether or not that's real or not, I don't know. But,
well, you know, we could write quite a book. You know
yes.
that. And then I wanted to mention that we're having our UFO conference here the 29th through the 31st of July. And Travis Walton is going to come speak at it, as well as a lot of other really good speakers. So if anybody is interested, they can go to UFOWatchtowerEvents.com.
Travis Walton would be really interesting. And for the listeners that don't know, he's the guy, I don't know, was it the 70s? He was out logging with his whoever he was working with and was abducted by a UFO in front of everybody. And he disappeared for a long time, and the police suspected that the people he was working with killed him, and he ended up showing up like 5 days later and claiming an abduction. So very interesting.
And they did that movie about him, you know, Fire
yes.
in the Sky.
which
yeah.
I think is a great movie, but it is kind of a scary movie.
Yeah, well, he says that that isn't, all of that's not true, that, again, it's Hollywood adding their stuff to it, so.
Yeah.
Go figure.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And is now, with the Watchtower, is there a fee if people want to visit it? How do they find it or get more information? Now, you just mentioned a website. Was that for the conference or?
Yeah, that's for the conference. Our regular website is UFOWatchtower.com. And to give you an idea, we're 22 miles north of Alamosa on Highway 17. We charge $2 a person or $5 a car to come in just to help with the expenses of taxes and insurance and stuff. But love to have everybody come visit. It's interesting. We've got lots of pictures and stories. And so I think we can entertain quite well.
And people, camping is available? Can people stay overnight?
Yes, we have a campground. And again, it's a nominal fee of $10 a night per tent, and then they can go up on the tower at night as well. So,
well, I sure would love to make it out that way because that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, even if you don't see anything, just to experience the location, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's like you can pick the stars right out of the sky at night. It's so dark, so beautiful.
I miss that. I live in Portland, Oregon, and while it's not the biggest city, you just don't get to see the stars anymore very well. So I totally enjoy that and miss that.
Yeah, it's a bummer if you can't see the sky at night.
Yeah. Well, Judy, I want to thank you for coming on Paranormal Horizons. It's great and teaching us a little bit about the Watchtower and your experiences out there. It's been fun and educational. So thank you.
Jason, thank you. Call me again sometime.
Great. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Judy.
You bet.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, wow, great stories from the UFO Watchtower. I'm going to have to make my way out there sometime and check that place out. I think one of the morals of the story is to, I think we all need to start looking up at the sky more. Although where I live, I won't see much, but man, if you're out there in the country, just look up because there's all sorts of strange things flying around there. And as everybody knows, I do believe that they are out there. And who knows, if you look up once in a while, you may see the mothership. Or from the story we just heard, maybe the mothership's underground where you live too. But with that, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show tonight and the callers and participation. I want to thank Judy Mezzaline for calling in and teaching us a little bit about the UFO Watchtower and all the great stories. And with that, I'll bid everybody adieu, and we'll be back at the usual time, Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And I hope everybody has a great week. Good night, everyone.